Hey, everybody. Welcome to Trashy Divorces, Trashy Breakup Edition with a super, super special and exciting guest star this week. We have with us, Stacey, do you want to introduce our very famous, very trashy guest that we are so excited to have here with us?
Not trashy. We are excited.
Trashy in the best way.
We are excited to welcome Fortune Themester to Trashy Divorces.
What's up, you guys?
To discuss various things.
To discuss all the things. Welcome to Trashy Divorces.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
We are delighted to have you. We are excited because you're coming back to the motherland of the South here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm coming down to Georgia. Yeah, I'm going to Augusta and Atlanta for a bunch of shows. I'm excited.
Yeah, you'll be in Augusta on the 10th and Atlanta on the 11th and 12th.
Yep. Cool. I'm doing one show in Augusta and then four in Atlanta, which is crazy.
Holy cats.
Yeah, this is a long time coming. I was supposed to start this tour March 14th of 2020.
What happened?
This is a worldwide pandemic. No biggie.
Yeah, because you had your Netflix special out in January of 2020. I'm sure you were primed for that year to be just an amazing professional experience.
We were very excited. It was a long time coming. A lot of hard work had been put in. And, you know, you always want to make that leap from comedy club to theater. And we were about to make that big transition and all steam ahead. And I mean, literally the night before I was supposed to leave, it was like everything shut down. So it was like I was like right there. But, you know, it happened how it happened. At least we got through this time and have been back on the road. And the beauty of it is we were going to do one show in Atlanta and now we're doing four. So the time helped, you know, people see my special and get more acquainted with me. And it all, you know, it works out. I have a whole new hour now and new stuff to entertain people with. So that's good.
Always fun coming up with a new set. Hey, speaking of new sets, though, during the time that maybe you weren't traveling, I understand that there's some congratulations in order.
Thank you. Congratulations
on your nuptials.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we just went ahead and did it last October. We were like, do we want to wait, you know, to try to figure out a wedding situation where you got to invite a bunch of guests. You don't know what the pandemic's doing. And we're like, let's just do it. So it ended up being really perfect. Just us and a couple of friends and our families on Zoom. And I wouldn't have changed a thing. So it ended up being the best for us. Everybody has their own way of doing things. But for us, it's how it ended up being perfect. But I would have never done that had it not been for the pandemic. So
exactly.
You just have to shift with whatever life is handing you and it can hopefully work out for the best.
Ain't that the truth? It's all an adjustment. So again, congratulations.
Thank you.
We were very excited from Trashy Divorces headquarters. We don't want to see y'all here.
I don't want to be there either. Only to talk about good things and other people and about my shows.
That's exactly right. So you're coming down to Atlanta for some shows this weekend. So for our North Georgia folks, Atlanta, Augusta, you heard it here. We'll add the links where you can get tickets in. Mm-hmm. But you know I'm dying to ask.
What's that?
When you had a fun job.
I did.
Out in California that just warms my trashy little heart. You got your start as the hot goss girl.
Yes, I was an entertainment journalist for about 6 or 7 years. When I was in my 20s, it was kind of my day job while I pursued comedy at night. And it was a really cool job. I got to go to all these events and movie premieres and the Grammys, the Oscars, the Emmys. I interviewed every celebrity known to man at the time and a lot of writers and directors. So for someone like me who is, you know, pursuing the entertainment world, I got to really accumulate a lot of knowledge. We weren't as gossipy. I just like the word hot goss.
We love hot goss.
We love the hot goss. But I was always, the outlet I wrote for was more of like, tell me about this movie you made. What's your character? Like that kind of stuff. But at the movie premieres, you know, everyone's yelling out like, who are you wearing? You know, they're always, it's all those same questions. So I found it hilarious that I was wearing a blue velour tracksuit from Forever 21 with a giant pink cupcake on the back of it, asking Will Smith who he's wearing. The irony was not lost on me at the time.
That had to have been such a fun, fun way to really get in the scene. What brought you out to California?
I was a personal assistant. You know, I just did that thing where you just come out here and do the, you know, do the jobs where you're running errands for people and trying to figure out what your path is. And
were you always called to comedy?
I was always intrigued by it. I think I always wanted to do it, but I was scared because I didn't, you know, I was from a small town of 6,000 people. I didn't have any opportunities to do comedy, and I would watch it a lot, though. I was obsessed with SNL, and I was always, like, memorizing the sketches and then performing it for my, like, sports teams on the week, you know, during practice and stuff, and I just didn't think you could make a living at it. And in college, I remember seeing an improv group perform and being really obsessed with, like, I was like, I
people
do
that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I gotta do this. This is amazing. They are like, there's a free class. I'm like, oh my God. I was like 18. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. It's like, I had discovered the most like wonderful thing ever. And I did the class, loved it, was ready to like make my life an improv life. And they were like, and the class is, you know, $500. And I didn't have it. I just like did not have $500, and neither did my parents. So that was that. So that, you know, so I didn't get to come back around to improv until like 7 years later. And even then I could barely afford it, but I did it. I was like, I'd rediscovered it and fell in love with it and just did whatever I could to pay for the classes.
Seems to have paid off very well.
It seems like you're doing okay.
it's been a long journey. I mean, you know, some people have been following my career for the last like 11 years. Some have just sort of discovered me, and I'll take any of it. I've been in LA for 18 years. And so it has not been a recent thing of just starting comedy. So, you know, it's 18 years, a lot of hard work and trying to get better at this to make, you know, make it worth people's time to want to come see me. So I'm just really, truly grateful that people are buying tickets to these shows and want to hear my stories.
So I have a question. When you first moved to Hollywood, did you have any idea that you could end up in a 13-year long nightmare conservatorship? I mean, how have you avoided that for yourself?
Oh, like Britney?
God bless her.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm just so happy she is getting to be in charge of her own life now. You know, it's I get that she went through a period of time where she needed help, but it's been a long time since then. And, you know, if you can make $40 million and pay a bunch of people, you should be able to, like, go to a CVS anytime you want and buy deodorant. You know, it's, like, crazy that she's been under such lock and key. But, yeah, I mean, I've never... Very few of us will ever experience that level of fame, though, you know, so it's hard to say.
Sweet Brittany spent the weekend in Cabo. She had a cigarette and a hot tub.
Good
cocktail,
for her.
Cigarette, hot tub. It looked like a pretty good, just a regular, normal, regular people having fun kind of weekend.
Yeah. Well, people go, you know, people were like, well, you know, what if she spends all her money? You go, it is hers to spend. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that don't make good choices with their money, but that comes with the territory of being an adult.
Mm-hmm. You should see the amount of outfits she tries. Well, she does buy for our cat that our cat just is never going to wear.
Yeah, our dog Biggie gets a lot of outfits put on him from my wife.
How does Biggie feel about outfits?
He honestly is so chill. He's like, whatever, he'll wear them. It's our dog Maddie that I mean, she looks miserable if she is in an outfit like that.
Bless. Yeah. Hey, so I understand that you are a big designing women fan.
Oh yeah, for
who's
sure.
Who's your favorite?
I mean, gosh, I mean, how it's so those women are so special in their own, you know, particular way. Their characters are so magical. I mean, I have a special place in my heart for Mary Jo, obviously, because of Annie Potts. She played my mom in a pilot I shot for ABC.
Oh, I didn't know that. How cool.
Yeah, so I got to know her a bit through that. I haven't seen her in a while because, you know, you do projects out here and go on with life, and she's doing Young Sheldon. I'll text her every now and then, but I used to pick her brain all the time asking about those days. And, you know, it was such a – I love those shows back then that, you know, highlighted really strong women.
Absolutely.
And that show had a lot of progressive messages that you didn't see at the time, you know. Which is why I think gay men were particularly obsessed with designing women and with Golden Girls, because they were saying all the, you know, more progressive things than a lot of the other shows.
There's a lot of connecting fan bases in that Venn diagram.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But also, I mean, how special is Dixie Carter? I mean, one of a kind.
So good.
Those monologues that she would do were freaking incredible.
Yes.
Now, did you know, this is a little trashy hot goss for you, she was such a staunch conservative and Republican.
Mm-hmm, oh, I didn't know that.
Every time the producers made her do one of those rants, or one of her really good Julia Sugarbaker, let me tell you.
Yeah. By the way, that's a great name, Julia Sugarbaker.
Right? That's how she got to sing. She's like, I will do this part of the script for you, but I get to sing. You need to work in a vocal performance for me. So if you ever wonder where those vocal performances come in on the show every so often, that is her payoff for that particular script reading.
I wish I had known that. I would have loved to have asked Annie about that.
I think that's the truth. That is what I have heard through my
through your designing
women fandom.
I love it. Yeah, I that's so funny. I did hear from her that a lot of times the scripts were, you know, Linda was writing them all, and so they would not get the final script to like they'd be, you know, the audience was in the stands waiting for them to start. They were waiting on the script, and they would have to learn it in like 30 minutes.
Oh, I mean, boy.
Think about all that dialogue they had, and they were like last minute. That's how talented all those women were.
It was a very good cast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Do you have a celebrity breakup or divorce that's near and dear to your heart? Are there any couples that you follow?
I was really, and this is an older one, I was really bummed when Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt broke up. That one was a bummer for me. I thought they were such a cool couple. And, you know, you've seen the respect they still have for each other, even after all that drama. They, you know, we saw them together on a Zoom, like read, I think it was, where they said each other's name and like everyone went nuts. I mean, I think they just have such a special place in pop culture history for our time, our generation as the it couple. So that one was a bummer.
Are there any couples that you'd be brokenhearted over if they broke up?
Who would I be? I mean, you don't want to ever see Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
No.
Oh,
that would be a, they're just, so fun, and they've been together forever and seem to genuinely like each other still. That one would bum me out. Who else? You would, the Obamas, you don't want them to break up. They're an amazing couple.
No, they're a favorite couple.
Yeah, that's a good couple. I mean, in general, I don't want to see anybody break up unless it's for the best.
Right.
You know, you hope the couples can figure it out.
And we're the podcast for when they don't.
Yeah,
I know. This is where they come to lick their wounds.
I'll bring up a story that made me giggle so much when I saw it.
Yeah.
You had talked about your 18th birthday party at Hooters.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, I did. I ended up doing a story about it in my special where I had talked about the setup was basically that my mom was newly divorced and she started dating men, and her personality would kind of mimic whoever she was dating. And I had grown up going to Hooters my whole life. And suddenly she was dating this new guy, and I suggested Hooters. And she's like, "I have never eaten at Hooters." And that always stuck with me my whole life. Like,
because why would you lie, Mom?
Yeah, it was such a pivotal moment in my childhood. I think I was like, that would have been like when I was like 19 or something, 20 or something like that. And she's saying she's never eaten there. And you feel like crazy. You're like, but we've been there literally my whole life. And she's just like, like, you know, like you were just on an alternate universe right now. So the story I tell is like, y'all took me to Hooters for this big birthday. And I'd do this whole story about them. And this is a true story, that they pulled me up onto a bar stool in the middle of the restaurant and jumped around me like their boobies jumping up and down. Because back then, that was what they did to celebrate your birthday. And I was in the closet, so it was very uncomfortable to be looking down to see boobies flopping all around me and my whole family staring at me. And I told that in my Netflix special. And so all these people keep showing up to my shows now in their own Hooters shirts, which is right. Hilarious.
So I don't know if it's, I would like to tell you that that's sort of a relatable thing.
Yeah.
The thing before, and this is kind of around the bend, before we became professional podcasters, I've spent about 30 years in curriculum design and professional training for large corporations. And one of my gigs once upon a time was as a national training manager for Hooters.
What did you train in?
So I created the content and curriculum for first, second, and third managers for Hooters girls, for the back of the house.
Yeah.
Everything from how to write a profit and loss statement to doing your stock to how to cook and shake wings and clean your fry trap.
Oh, cooking. I would love to cook and shake wings.
If we ever get to California, I'll give you all the secrets.
Good. Oh, their wings are good. It was such a different time back then, you know. Hooters was like a, you know, considered kind of a naughty, like, oh, we're going to Hooters. This is scandalous. And now it's like we're so inundated with so much like filth everywhere that Hooters is like is so tame in comparison to, you know, everyday life. The internet is like full of stuff. So it's a different beast now.
Now we always like we train to make families feel welcome. Mm-hmm. But to your story, it really touched my heart. Because you talked about standing on the stool and like your just level of uncomfortability because you were not out.
Yeah.
I think you called it like, I'm in the Salem witch trials. I will literally tell you that in every store I've visited, that scene happened with an uncomfortable gay kid every single day.
Oh my gosh.
That I had to give some sensitivity training. I'm like, no, you got to look at their face. You don't stand anybody on a stool if.
It ended up being a fun story to like set up. And then later I was able to pay off that Hooter story by telling my mom I was gay and her saying we're going to celebrate at Hooters. Mm-hmm.
It's always fun when the trauma's processed.
I mean, well, that's comedy, right?
Exactly.
You know, if you were to look at my hour special, you know, it's a very personal special. I talk a lot about growing up and not knowing who I was and trying to figure it out. I mean, at the core of that is pain, you know, there it's all like none of that stuff was easy. At the time, it was quite difficult. But as a comedian, it's your job to work through that and then come out the other end of it and see the humor in it.
Well, and you find the identifiable bits. Like that part to me was very identifiable. I'm like, mm-hmm. I know these kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless these children.
but my family, I don't know if it's a Southern thing or what, but my family has always had the ability to take something difficult and laugh. And so that's, I think, the core of what my point of view is. I'm taking something that was, not always, not every story was difficult, but you know, taking some real life things and trying to, let's laugh about this because it's, I see the humor in it.
Well, that's Dolly Parton and Steel Magnolias, right? Laughter through tears is my favorite emotion, which is got a lot of growing up gay in the South.
Yeah, right? Are y'all from Georgia?
I'm from Alabama.
Alabama, okay.
I was an Army brat and then spent like 10 years in Alabama and then came here for college.
Okay.
So.
I was just in Mobile doing a show. I know that's for like pretty south down. Well, I didn't know what to expect. I had never been there. And people are always like, why are you going to, you know, such and such place? I'm like, I am Southern. Like, what do you mean? And, it was awesome. I mean, the whole, everybody that came was just like, so, we walked down the street and people were popping out of restaurants to say hi. And it was fantastic. I mean, so to get to be a out gay comedian and go to all these different places all over the country and receive love like that, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I know when we were working on lining this up, I talked to one of our trash pandas. That's what our listeners are called. Mm-hmm. Who was so excited. You're going to talk to Fortune? I've seen Fortune 3 times. Every time she's been in my city, I've come to see her and she's fantastic every time. So I will tell the Trash Pandas for anybody in Georgia or anybody upcoming on your tour, definitely go see you. High marks that I have heard from your audiences.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm coming back to the South January and February to Richmond and Charlotte and Asheville and Durham. So I'm popping in and out for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say it seems like you're really making up for the lost pandemic time. Like you've got a big schedule up ahead of you.
I know every time I post dates, everyone goes, oh boy, get rest. But, you know, that this is an unusual time because normally you do a tour, you can really extend it out for like, 2 years or something. So you're not like going crazy. But when you couldn't tour it was a whole year and a half we couldn't tour. That's a lot of lost time. That's a lot of time that you would have spent towards, you know, trying to create your next special. And that's what it is. The road is all about creating that next special. And also entertaining people, performing for people. And I didn't get to do it. So, I'm smashing 2 years worth of a tour all into 1 year. And it's trippy, but yeah, you're exhausted at times, but then you just come home, regroup, refresh, take care of yourself and get back out there. Cause it has been really great. I think people need to laugh more than ever.
100%.
Every comic I've talked to has said the reactions from crowds right now is unlike anything. Cause people are just, it's like a huge relief, and a release, when they go to these shows and they're just like the weight of this last, you know, year and a half is shedding a little bit.
I know some folks in Atlanta with tickets who are super excited to see you this weekend.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, it's all about, I know it's like some people aren't ready for for crowds, which I get. You know, I'm going to things with my wife and I were very hunkered down during the pandemic, but we're out again. We've gotten our vaccines, but you know, I personally wear a mask. It's all your personal choice. Every sure. theater has different protocols, but you gotta, you know, do what's best for you. So I say, come where if you have hesitations, wear a mask. No issue with that. And people definitely leave feeling a lot better. You can see just the anxiety start to fall off people as we go. So that's the best part of my job, is just bringing joy again, because it was so dark for all of us, for a long time.
Well, you are fantastic at bringing the joy. You have brought the joy to us today here on the Trashy Breakups midweek edition of Trashy Divorces.
I love it. I always love talking to fellow Southerners, and I especially love coming to the South to perform. It does trip me out when people like see my tour lists and they rag on me for different, not Atlanta, and obviously, you know, this is a major city. I'm talking about like when I do like one-offs in different places, and they're like, why would you go to that place in this tiny town in the South? I'm like, because they need it more than anything, you know, like,
yep.
I was from a small town, and that kind of representation would have done a world of good for me. So
probably
like,
would have done a world of good for your town well.
Yeah. Cause you know, you don't want to always be preaching to the choir, right? You certainly want to talk to people, your people, but if you can also change minds and open hearts by just sharing your story, I mean, I think that's pretty powerful.
For sure.
Well, we are excited you're coming to town.
You're going to be at Center Stage here in Atlanta, and at least some of the shows are already sold out. You may be all sold out now.
I believe both shows Saturday are sold out, other than some resale tickets. Those end up being a little pricier because people are trying to make money off of them, which is a bummer. But Sunday night, the 5 o'clock show definitely has tickets available. The late one Sunday is very few left, but that 5 o'clock one on Sundays, open, and that one's gonna be good. My mom's coming to all four shows. She has not been to any show yet on this tour, and she's on my podcast a lot along with my wife, and people are in for a treat because I love performing in front of her, because I usually tease her and they like to look at her face and see her reactions.
That is amazing. We are not actually too far at all from Center Stage. So at some point over your weekend, now I know I need three. I'm going to be bringing you some Trashy Divorces gift bags.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
Slide them in some totes and stickers and swag and stuff.
Well, thank you. That's sweet.
We'll make sure we're covering mom. I'm not about to make your mom angry.
She loves a tote bag.
Not about to make your wife angry. So we'll just triple everything up and I'll get those by this weekend.
Awesome. I love it.
So Atlanta and Augusta folks, get tickets while they're still out there and about. Fortune, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you chatting with me and spreading the word about the show. It's been delightful.
We're thrilled to have you on.
Oh, well, you guys are the best.
It's been nice.
I will make sure Trashy Tote Bags land at Center Stage this weekend in Atlanta for the three of y'all. And best of luck on your tour.
I really appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and congratulations on finally being able to pick up where 2020 cut everything off.
Yeah.
we're going to be there so soon.
That's right. That's right. We're getting through it.
Fortune, you want to sign us out for this week's episode of Trashy Divorces?
Keep it trashy.
That's exactly it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll catch you on Sunday.
And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram, and definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com. or find us on the World Wide Web at TrashyDivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.